Welcome to Community Conversations, a monthly program on KUMD dedicated to topics of interest in our community and fostering our community connections. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson, and this evening we'll be talking about us and them, immigrants, refugees, and fear of the other. The fear of the other, or xenophobia, has been around probably as long as human beings. A 2002 article in Psychology Today says fear of foreigners or other strange-seeming people comes out when we're under stress, and that fear seems almost hardwired into the human psyche. The article goes on to say that researchers have found xenophobia can be easily, even arbitrarily, turned on. In just hours, we can be conditioned to fear or discriminate against those who differ from us even by something as superficial as eye color. Even ideas we believe are just common sense can be grounded in fear of something or someone that's different. Fear of Muslims. Fear of refugees, fear of immigrants. We've heard it all and then some on the news in recent months, with wildly differing ideas of how to cope with that fear. But it wasn't until I had a conversation with UMD French professor Milan Kovacevic, who holds dual citizenship in the U.S. and in France, that I realized how far that fear had gone. Milan told me that after the terrorist attacks in Paris, he'd heard talk from family and friends there about putting French Muslims in internment camps. Wait a minute. Didn't we vow after the Second World War never again and to never forget? I was honored to welcome three immigrants to this country into the studio to talk about their experience and to get their take on the fear of the other that's gripping the U.S. at this time. Milan Kovacevic, as I mentioned, is a professor of French here at UMD and came to this country from France when he was 14. Mike Yaros is a former Minnesota State Representative, serving District 7B from 1972 to 1980, and then again from 1984 to 2009. He came to America from Bosnia when he was 17. Abe Alcuda left his native Jordan for America 15 years ago. He has a master's degree from UMD, and he is the president of the Islamic Center of the Twin Ports. Here's Mike Yaros.
I'm an immigrant myself. My mother was mostly German. My dad was Polish. Wherever my ancestors went, they were minorities, both national and religious minority. I was born in a labor camp in Germany during World War II, Braunschweig, central part of Germany. When Hitler and Mussolini occupied Yugoslavia, they needed workers because their men were fighting. My family and many other families were taken to labor camps, and my dad worked in a steel mill.
I'm Milan Kovacevic, and I'm an immigrant too. I was 14, just turned 14, when I came to the United States from France.
My name is Ibrahim Alcuda. I am the president of the ICTP, the Islamic Center of Twin Ports, in Duluth. And I've been in the U.S. for approximately 15 years. I have a wife and four kids, and I work as a civil engineer for the city of Superior. I want to jump into the topic real quick. As a Muslim, I feel a lot of pressure right now, and I can speak on pretty much on behalf of every Muslim, in the U.S. at least. I'm an immigrant, so I came to the country with the American dream, the just beautiful dream. I come to the U.S., I'm going to be somebody. I can just make my dream come true. All these opportunities, people are beautiful, and they are. My problem is that right now, I feel like somebody, somehow, this insane media, whatever is going on, is damaging my dream, and I don't like it. I really don't like it. Don't mess with my dream. This is my dream. I want my kids to live it too. I want to live it, you know, till I die. I'm an American citizen. I feel like I've been accused of you're not true American. Why? Just because of my faith? My faith does not contradict my being a good American. You know, I have friends. I feel like I'm very loyal to my country, to America, in every way possible. That's what we preach in our Islamic center. There's no contradiction. The Islam that the people talk about is nothing that I believe in. It's nothing that more than almost 2 billion people on earth are Muslims. I don't know why this just ugly image that we see, that just bad representation of being a Muslim. It's just, it hurts my feelings. It breaks my heart, to be honest with you.
Abe, are you angry with Americans, in air quotes, or are you angry with groups like ISIS?
I'm definitely angry with ISIS. This group is, as a matter of fact, they are one of the major groups that are destroying my dream. They're killing. They're ugly. They're savage. I think they cross the line of being actually a human. Once you do these acts, you're not a human anymore. I don't know if there's a returning point at that point. It's just too bad, you know? So I'm definitely against them. I tell this to my kids. I teach my kids the right way. I teach my kids that faith has nothing to do with being a good American. If you want to grow up, you want to be a Christian, good for you. If you want to be a Jew, good for you. If you want to be atheist, that's fine. It doesn't have to be un-American to have a certain faith. You can just be whatever you want, as long as there's no contradiction. Faith is just some background, some values that you adapt in your lifestyle just to improve things and be a better person. It shouldn't make you go back and say, no, my faith is making me just this ugly person. No, there's no justification for such a thing. And that's not the Islam that I have in my lifestyle right now. That's not the Islam that my wife practices every day. That's not what my kids practice every day, or what I teach them, at least. They're too young to understand. But this is just, this is my frustration, is that there's the true Islam that I believe in, that I practice, that I use every day in my life. And then there's the ugly image of Muslims and Islam in general that people are trying to preach about, and some people at least. And then that's my problem with standing up and saying, no, this is not true. I am a Muslim. I am American. I'm a human. Don't hurt my feelings. Don't call me a terrorist just because I'm a Muslim. What if I convert tomorrow for whatever reason? Does that make me a better person? I'm American either way.
What about your daughter, your oldest daughter?
Dakota, she's 11. She's an innocent kid. You know, she's not any different than any other 11-year-old. But when she goes to school, she decided on her own to wear the headscarf, which we call hijab. Now, that was her choice. And honestly, it was no influence whatsoever from me or mom for her to do that. She just decided to be like mom. Oh, I want to be like mom. I want to wear this. Okay, that's fine. She goes to school. And then people are, in general, very nice. But they have this impression, again, that this false impression, that once you look in a certain way, you're a different person. You're not good anymore just because of that thing on your head. And she struggles with that. And as a parent, I do my best to just to teach her that life is good. The people are nice. If you feel like people gave you certain looks, it doesn't represent everybody. That person, and I honestly, that's what I teach her, is that people do not have enough information. Like right now, these days, there is a lot of obligation on Muslims to actually convey the message of true Islam to everybody who is not Muslim, who needs that information to actually make some good decisions, at least, or some have a good idea of what Islam is all about, at least right now with all of the stuff that's going on in the media. So I teach Dakota, if somebody gives you a certain look that you don't like, you're not comfortable with, that person does not have, they don't know what's going on. All they know is just one side of the story. Our job is to lead by example.
It was really difficult to take it when I was a kid in grade school when they were calling me Hitlerite. As soon as the war ended, we went back to Bosnia in 1945. We were a minority. We were in Germany. We were suspects. My dad didn't want to go to Germany. He was afraid if he didn't go, he would be decapitated, because we were Catholics and not Serbians or Croatians or Muslims, Bosnian Muslims. We were a small minority. My classmates, there were only five of us in my class, two girls and three guys, and so we would speak our own language, you know, and that was a no-no. Oh, you're different. So people, I guess, just don't like different because they're wearing a different garb, or because they're speaking different language, or they're going celebrating different holidays. Some people didn't like us because we were different. But it wasn't that many, so most people are great. And it's unfortunate that you're going through that, and I went through that. But, you know, it's sad.
I'm a dual national of France and the U.S., and right now there is a rising political party in France called the National Front, whose leader is a woman named Marine Le Pen, who's proposing to eliminate dual nationality pertaining to people who have both a French nationality and a non-European nationality. So it's obviously racist in direction. Well, I'm a dual national of France and the U.S., and whenever I get flack about that, about which country do I have allegiance to, I say, well, I'm a U.S. Military veteran, and so that kind of tends to stop any kind of accusation of dual allegiance or anything like that. Now, in France is a very a-religious country. It goes back to the 16th century, where there were horrific wars between Catholics and Protestants, actually. And their 9/11 took place in 1572, where all the Protestants in the city of Paris were massacred by the Catholic power at the time. So the religious question is very touchy in France. In 1905, a law was passed to fundamentally separate the state from church. And it's kind of resolved, but issues have come up in France, for instance, prohibiting the wearing of scarf for girls in junior high school and high school. And there's a law prohibiting what they call conspicuous display of religion in the public sphere in order to maintain the peace, kind of. Because France also has the highest proportion in Europe of both Muslim and Jewish population. And lately, these two groups have been very antagonistic towards each other. It's kind of spillover from the Middle East and the Israel-Palestinian question. So no kippahs, and no large crosses, and no scarves, you know. And it's kind of difficult to understand from the Anglo-Saxon perspective, because here we value cultural diversity. And France too, but only to a certain point.
You're listening to Community Conversations on KUMD. We're talking about us and them this evening, immigrants, refugees, and fear of the other. Our guests in the studio are three immigrants to this country, Milan Kovacevic, a professor of French here at UMD, who came to this country from France when he was 14. Mike Yaros, a former Minnesota State Representative who came to America from Bosnia when he was 17, and Abe Alcuda left his native Jordan for America 15 years ago. He has a master's degree from UMD, and he is the president of the Islamic Center of the Twin Ports.
There's an interesting article that was in the New York Times. It was a commentary by Paul Krugman, and he talked about Marine Le Pen and Donald Trump here in America. And he says, the article is called Empowering the Ugliness. And he says, my European friends will no doubt say that I'm oversimplifying, but from an American perspective, it looks as if Europe's establishment has tried to freeze the xenophobic right, not just out of political power, but out of any role in acceptable discourse. He does go on to say at the end of the article, just to be clear, in offering these explanations of the rise of Mr. Trump and Ms. Le Pen, I'm not making excuses for what they say, which remains surpassingly ugly and very much at odds with the values of two great democratic nations. But I think he's trying to provide an explanation for why Marie Le Pen's message, Donald Trump's message of prejudice and targeting Muslim people, and this fear, this absolute terror of the other. I think he's trying to say that these people that have these fears and concerns have been ignored so long that that's why all of a sudden it's bubbling up.
You know, the U.S., the United Kingdom, and France, because of the past, you know, slavery, colonialism, and so on. They're very multicultural societies. And the challenge now is how to get all these people to live in peace together. Now, I'm French, but my name is not French. But I'm European, so I'm conscious that there is a lot of prejudice against non-Europeans in France. And a big problem now is, especially with the Maghreb population, former colonies, who are pretty much segregated in the suburbs of the big cities. And the situation is very explosive there. It's a little bit like the inner city in the U.S. You know, there's a lot of that, Ferguson, all these places. It's kind of similar to that. And in 2005, there were 3 weeks of riots, uninterrupted riots. More than 10,000 cars were burned during that period. Schools were set on fire, things like that. It's kind of kept under a lid, but it's very explosive. And now, with terrorism added to it, the call for internment camps is very extreme. You know, it's kind of a minority view, but there is quite a bit of support for house arrest and electronic surveillance for people who profess what they call radical Islamism. Not general Islamism, but radical Islamism. And these people are known by the authorities. There's a list, you know, data. And there is fairly substantial popular support to have these people watched closely. In other words, preventively. Because they espouse violence, actually, the jihad, you know.
I was listening to Republican candidates for president, and they're all, you know, boots on the ground, yeah. Military, mm. And, you know, and they're not talking about what caused terrorism. Terrorism is awful, but when people are powerless, we didn't have Muslim terrorists in Europe and so on until recently. Why? Because we've clobbered twice Iraq. That war, second war, was immoral and illegal to go there and destroy the whole nation. Plus, you know, what's happened with the Soviets first in Afghanistan and, of course, the Israeli-Palestinian relationship, and the West is considered one-sided only with Israel, you know, and so on. So that's what caused, I think, the terrorism against us, United States and Europe. And a military will not defeat it. They're all saying, you know, go send the military. I compare this jihad, ISIS, and so on to guerrilla warfare.
The terrorists in France were actually French citizens. They're second, third generation immigrants, parents or grandparents. So the fertile ground is not even so much in the Middle East as in the French suburbs, actually, you know, where they're congregated into ghetto-like situations. And these are very vulnerable young people. They have no perspective on the future, you know, this pretty much complete unemployment, there's discrimination against them, and they're hungry for some kind of a transcendent goal, you know. And the only thing they find, unfortunately, is this horrible jihad, what they call the jihad. It's there. It's like a dream, you know, and society is unable to give them a good perspective on the future. So it's no use to go bomb the Middle East. You know, it's actually within the country. Sure. You have this.
That's another good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Community Conversations on KUMD. We're talking about us and them this evening, immigrants, refugees, and fear of the other. Our guests in the studio are three immigrants to this country, Milan Kovacevic, a professor of French here at UMD, who came to this country from France when he was 14. Mike Yaros, a former Minnesota State Representative who came to America from Bosnia when he was 17, and Abe Alcuda left his native Jordan for America 15 years ago. He has a master's degree from UMD, and he is the president of the Islamic Center of the Twin Ports.
I'm here in terms that it's on my list of obligations as a Muslim to share with every non-Muslim friend, even non-Muslim person. Jihad, for instance. Jihad to me is not really what those people are doing. Jihad means struggle. That's what I was raised on as a Muslim. My mom is 80-some years old. She's very practicing Muslim. She's a very good practicing Muslim. Jihad is struggle. The jihad that she taught me is to struggle in school and have a degree. Be the best I can be. Be the best neighbor I can be. Be the best husband I can be. Be the best friend I can be. Be the best advocate for good values that I believe in. That's the jihad that I believe in. So, and I'm not really resenting any of the comments. I'm just saying, these are the things that we have to share as Muslims. We have to share, educate people on what those things mean. Those individuals who commit such really terrible acts and claim it on their twisted mentality of, or the definition of perception of Islam, this is just, it's not true. Yeah. It's completely wrong. These are things that I was raised on. I know what I'm talking about because it's me. I'm talking about the things that I know. I was raised on these values. And I really, really believe in education. I teach my kids that education is the answer for most of our problems, if not all of them. So is the answer, is the answer vilifying every Muslim in the U.S.? Is that the answer? No. That's completely unacceptable.
Oh, sure.
Why is it different than what ISIS is doing? The majority of their victims, and I'm referring to ISIS, are Muslims. They're doing these things that we see happening in the U.S. maybe a few times. It's happening every day in the Middle East. The victims are Muslims. The people who are fighting ISIS are Muslims. The people who are fighting ISIS are people like my family back home in Jordan, and that's my home country. Most of my family, veterans and active, still on duty, my family are fighting those guys. And they stand against them. They stand against ISIS. My relatives. So I know exactly what's happening in the Middle East. And that's why I'm rejecting all of those things that are being presented by, say, that person that you mentioned in that debate. I think what we should be doing, at least it's my opinion, put people together. That's how we fight. Educate ourselves, educate each other, and stick with each other and say, you know what? You can't just vilify Muslims. You can't just separate us and divide us into sects and things like that. That's what ISIS wants to do, but that's not the right answer. The answer is to stand together as one nation and say, we Americans, we are against you, ISIS. Even if you try to brainwash certain individuals, that means nothing to us. We will fight you with our Jews, with our Christians, with our atheists, with our whatever Muslims, whatever background we have. We are all Americans. We are against you.
I'm glad that the Muslim 24 Muslim countries formed with the leadership of Saudi Arabia. I think that's a good move, that they should get more involved in their neighborhood rather than just NATO being there, because there'll be more and more problems. I think the local people should get together and resolve. You know, Jordan, of course, is really very progressive and open-minded country, and then Qatar and so on. They have to get together, and I'm glad they're doing it.
This is my message, and that's why I'm here. I'm here to reach out and then answer any questions. If that really helps, provide bring a better understanding of what's going on, what Islam is all about, I'm here. I'm here. If you see me on the street, dark-skinned person, I'm Muslim, I came from the Middle East, I'm an American citizen, and I love the U.S., and I love my faith, because it makes me a better American. In the Islamic Center of Duluth, we have open doors everybody's welcome. Please stop by. We can talk. We can show you. We can give you a tour of the place. We can talk to you about what's the Islam that we practice here in Duluth. Meet the Muslim Americans who live in Duluth. They don't look any different than you. They're doctors, engineers, highly educated people. They're very nice community. And I don't want to be like an advocate of what they are, but they're a really nice group of people. Please reach out to us. Help us connect.
Some of what I have read indicates that Adolf Hitler was a frightened, angry person. Adolf Hitler's message appealed to frightened, angry people. In the years following the Second World War, in which my father served, there was the solemn vow, never again. Are we headed back into a situation again where frightened, angry people are going to lead us down a path that we cannot afford? Have we forgotten already? Have we forgotten already?
It could happen, unfortunately. It could. I hope we're not. I hope we elect people who are above that and true Democrats who understand the Constitution. We have to do something about guns, but it's difficult to do it, and it's difficult to educate people that most Muslims, most Christians, most whatever religion are good people, and it's a small minority. But I hope the people are not just sleeping. I hope they are above some of the politicians that are saying that we're going to stop this group of people because they are such and such nationality or religion. I hope we can defeat those people and some normal people get elected to presidency and other offices next year.
I think these are really difficult times economically. For instance, there's the disappearance of the middle class, in America. For young people, it's very hard to find employment that is stable, that is, provides sufficient income for an adequate living. Everything is becoming kind of marginal, temporary, part-time, and so on. And during these kinds of times, there's a tendency to want to find a scapegoat. Why? Because nobody really understands what's going on. And right now, the scapegoats are Muslims and immigrants. And particularly if they're both at the same time. And you have a fanatic fringe that's whipping up, public opinion. Trump in the United States, Marine Le Pen in France. And they're getting more and more of an audience. There is a movement towards that extremism, and that's very scary because that's kind of similar to what occurred between the two world wars, where you had dire economic problems in Germany, and then a demagogue, surfaced, and then we had a catastrophe.
Community Conversations is a monthly program here on KUMD dedicated to topics of interest in our community and fostering our community connections. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson. We'd like to thank our guests so much this evening. Milan Kovacevic, a professor of French here at UMD, he came to this country from France when he was 14 and holds dual citizenship in the U.S. and in France. Mike Yaros is a former Minnesota State Representative who came to America from Bosnia when he was 17. And Abe Alcuda left his native Jordan for America 15 years ago. He has a master's degree from UMD and he is the president of the Islamic Center of the Twin Ports. Community Conversations is produced by Lisa Johnson and funded by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.